Hey, how's it going, folks? Welcome to Blind Bargains Cast 179, end of April 2019, as you can hear. We are on the road. I'm JJ Meadow. I am at a teacher's conference, the Michigan AAR conference in Livonia, Michigan. Joe is working on his coursework and doing all sorts of professional things this week as well. But we have a lot of audio to share with you that we've recorded over the past few weeks. Coming up, we have an interview with the fine folks at Be My Eyes to learn about the latest initiatives. I'll be honest, we recorded this at CSUN and then I lost the recording. It happens, but we brought them back and they've actually had more partnerships, the Google partnership and now one with a really big bank as well. Stay tuned for that. David Ward is on later with an Alexa tip. He's going to be doing a couple of those for us, so stay tuned for that as well. We appreciate the user submitted tip as well. But we're going to start out with more audio from CSUN, the new features of Seeing AI. You might have heard about the latest version of Seeing AI, dealing with being able to touch a photo and move your finger around and hear what is where on the picture. Shelly caught up with Sakik Sheikh from Seeing AI. He's the lead engineer on that project to learn all about this. That's coming up in just a second right here on Blind Bargains Cast 179. We appreciate you listening. You can always write us feedback at blindbargains.com on the email, Twitter, at Blind Bargains. So without further ado, let's bring you back one more time to Anaheim, California for Shelly Brisbane and Seeing AI. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Welcome back to Blind Bargains from CSUN 2019. One of the things people have been talking about at the show this week is the updated version of Seeing AI from Microsoft. And I'm here talking with the lead of that program, lead software engineer for Seeing AI, Sakib Sheikh from Microsoft. Hi, Sakib. How are you?
Hi, I'm great.
It's really good to have you on the show again.
Thank you very much.
I think you talked to us when maybe it was Seeing AI 1.0, wasn't it? Something like that. It was very soon after you launched, I believe.
Yes, a while ago.
Yeah. So tell us about Seeing AI 3.0. What's new?
One of the biggest new features is the Explore the Photo feature. Now, in previous versions of Seeing AI, you've been able to use the Scene channel to get a description of the photo that you just took. And while that's good, it gives a nice summary. What we've been doing now is the AI is now able to identify individual elements of the photo and whereabouts they are in the photo. So we can let you run your finger over the screen and it will tell you when you reach each object.
That's impressive. So that works with any sort of photo. Does the level of complexity of the photo change the results very much?
It depends on what's in the photo in that it can recognize text and people and several thousand objects. And that's going to improve over time. So it depends if those objects are the ones in your photo.
So it's learning from not only your photos, but the engine is picking up as more and more objects are added to the list of things that are photographed. Is that?
At the present, we separate user photos from the photos we use for teaching Seeing AI. So it does improve over time, but we're not using your photos. Those are totally private.
Okay, that's good to know. So how are people using this feature so far? Or what applications did you envision for it?
It's really giving people a spatial awareness. So in our early user testing, a gentleman took a photo of a table and chairs, and he was intrigued by this idea of how a photograph flattens the real world into a rectangle. And so you have a table and some chairs on the left and the right and the top and the bottom. And just that translating the real world into what it ends up being like on a photo, I think was very interesting.
Right, and it gives you some spatial sense as well, right? Sort of a three-dimensional is probably too strong a word, but I guess some sense, because photos have depth, right?
Exactly. So it's translating that 3D into a way that you can feel on the screen.
Right. So let's talk about what else is new in Seeing AI 3.0.
Also new is native iPad support, which has been a top customer request, partly from low vision people who prefer to use the larger screen, but also for people in academic environments where a cell phone connection like an iPhone is not allowed in the classroom.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize that it didn't have native iPad support. I guess it worked on an iPad, but in the universal format as opposed to like full screen. And
exactly. So it was, a stretched version of the iPhone.
Yeah. Anything else we should know about feature-wise?
We can now reorder and hide channels, because especially for voiceover.
Oh, that's a big one. I want color right at the front, please. That's the one I use not every morning, but when I get up and I can't remember what color my shirt is, I really like the color one.
Oh, wow. And that's the thing, like for everyone, that's different.
Yeah, of course. Some people are going to love short text, which is the first one. That's by default. So you basically do it the same way you would do an iOS app. You'd get into an edit mode and then you drag things around to change the order.
Kind of, yeah. You go into settings and there's a list and you can select and deselect and reorder in that list.
Great. What else? I'm just enjoy the list.
Well, those are the big ones. And then we just got a couple of small ones. We found that people love using the person channel as a bit of a party trick where you take the photo and it tells you the age. And, you know, that's just us. Most of what we do is productivity or to help the user do something new. But something like that is also a little bit just like to show where what the AI can do. But also you can do face recognition, and we found that wasn't very discoverable hidden in the menu. So now we just brought that to the front screen.
And we were joking about that because we met before this interview and we had to find one another, neither of us having full use of our eyesight. So I was telling Saki we should have made sure that my face was in his seeing AI, but I guess we didn't plan ahead on that one.
Exactly.
So a lot of people ask me, hey, what about the Android version of seeing AI? Is that coming at some point?
That's feedback we definitely hear. And
that is such a Microsoft answer. I love it.
I guess it is.
I mean, I understand why that has to be the case, but you've heard it before, so I guess that's the main point. So you don't have plans or announcements to make.
We don't have announcements at this time, but yeah.
So tell me what's going on with the development and the Seeing AI team. I mean, do you have like a long list of features, or do you feel like you're perfecting a mature product, or where do you feel like this product is these days?
We're continuing working on it, and actually we're going to be hiring some people, so look out for some announcements, and we're looking out for the great AI talent. And really the way I see this is I want to follow where AI is going on the one side, and on the other side I want to see what are the challenges people face in their daily life and how can we make that better, bring those two things together. So there will be new technologies like this object detection we're using right now. Well, whatever the next thing is, like ability to ask the system about photos. I don't know. That's a little way away, but that's the next thing on the horizon, perhaps.
Sure. And AI can do so much with photos. And photos is a thing where I imagine AI is very much, very trainable. I mean, there are a lot of, by showing it a lot of examples, it's going to learn pretty easily.
Exactly. And then you can train the existing algorithms, and then there are brand new algorithms being developed all the time in the academic community. So
right.
Always exciting to see what can we do with that, because I often feel that as the visually impaired community, we can find really good uses for the cutting edge technology because it can really be helpful to us. So that really excites me, and that's what I'm hoping to keep doing.
Do you feel like there are other parts of Microsoft that are going to be able to use your technology, or is that a goal that your team has?
Totally. We always want to see, like for this Explore Photo feature, we found that the object detection was not able to detect all the objects that our users were interested in knowing about. So we went out and we trained it to recognize many more things. And then that's going to go back into the mainstream product, which will be used on Microsoft, but also by other Microsoft customers.
So Seeing AI 3.0 available now or available soon?
Available now.
Awesome. So download it for your iPhone and your iPad.
For free.
For free. Yeah, always for free. And I had a question in my head, which I didn't ask you. I'll just go ahead and try it. So there are other apps out there in the world that are doing something similar to or in the same ballpark as Seeing AI. Do you feel like those are competitive to what you're doing, especially since you're have a product that users can have for free? Or do you, how do you interpret it when you see other companies putting things out that are doing something similar to Seeing AI?
We are excited. We think that this is a new space and AI is a fast moving, evolving area. So yeah, there's a tiny bit of competitiveness always, but also we're just happy to move the industry forwards. Some of the new ideas we started with in Seeing AI 1.0 are making their way to many other apps. And so we think, what's the next set of things we can do? And if those things end up being prevalent everywhere, then that's really great, because we're moving the industry and what people with visual impairments can do forwards as well.
I think that's a great point to end on. Saki, thanks so much for being here and telling us about Seeing AI 3.0 available in the App Store right now.
Thank you very much.
Hey there, welcome to the Podcast Closet. It's Shelley, and I have a demo for you of Seeing AI 3.0, or at least one big feature of it. You heard Saqib of Microsoft describe this feature, describe some new things in Seeing AI 3.0, and I thought I would just put it through its paces by showing you some photos from my library and at least one attempted identification of a famous human, which is something that Seeing AI is supposed to be able to do. So I have my iPhone XR here. I have several pictures all picked out on my camera roll. And if VoiceOver will cooperate, we'll do some demos. So I've got this picture. What I'm going to do is have Seeing AI do its best to identify things, and then I'm going to tell you how close it came to the actual photo we're looking at.
Share button. Cancel button. Recognize with Seeing AI. Cancel button. Scene, a Christmas tree in a room.
Very nice. So that's pretty much what Seeing AI has been able to do for a while. And at the bottom of the photo is a menu, and the top item, which is selected, is Scene, Christmas tree in a room.
Explore photo button.
And now we're going to see the new feature, which is Explore Photo.
Explore photo. Processing. Three items detected. Move your finger over the screen to explore.
All right, let's do that. I'm going to move from left to right, basically.
Christmas tree. Christmas tree. Couch.
And those are my three items. And as I touch them, if you have vision, you have the option to have the items outlined by borders. And so right now the couch is selected, and so the little area where the couch is, it has a little border around it. Those are called text blocks, and you can make them go away. I don't know why they're called text blocks, but that's what they are. And this is actually a picture of my living room. On the left side is a Christmas tree. In the middle is a big plant that I have decorated with lights, so I can see why Seeing AI would think it was a Christmas tree. And on the right, it sees a couch. It misses the fact that there is a coffee table with a lit candle in front of the couch, and it misses a couple of other things in the room, but generally, this is a pretty good indication of what's going on here. Now, there is a back button in the upper left of this screen, but try as I might, I can't scrub, I can't flick, I can't explore by touch. So the quickest way to get out of one of these explore photo things is to triple tap.
Scene, a crisp explore photo, close button, cancel,
and go to close.
Back button.
All right, now we move on to the next photo.
Photo 20 of 28, photo, landscape, September 29th, 2000, share button, recognize with Seeing AI button, cancel button. Text, open, Congress, at the Texas Tribune Festival, XASDARD, Y News Show of Texas, LICRTION, ST, anywhere, Empodka, and.
All right, so all of that is signage in the image. So above, this is a group of people seated at in a panel situation. They're in chairs with low tables between them, and then there is an audience facing them, and you can see the backs of their heads. And above them is a sign, and to the left is a sign you can see half of. This is a picture I took at the Texas Tribune Festival, where the radio show for which I work was conducting a panel. And so let's see what Seeing AI can tell us.
Scene, a group of explore photo button. Explore photo. Processing. 16 items detected. Move your finger over the screen to explore.
Oh my goodness, this will be fun.
Y News Show of Texas.
So that's a partial sign.
Congress.
That's a big sign. There are actually more words on that sign, but Congress is the only one it seems to be able to read.
Person. 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 Sign.
So there are three people on the panel. The other people that it was identifying are actually audience members. So it's seeing the back of people's heads, and it's identifying them as people. And I might be missing a few little items. I have a close-up version of a photo like this where you see one of the people on the panel, and it identifies her hand, it identifies a water bottle, but at this distance, it doesn't seem to be able to get them. And it's not telling us things like their age or expression. So I'm going to show you that close-up picture next. Again, I'm going to triple tap.
Oh. Close button.
It was close.
Cancel.
They're sitting
button.
Near tables. All right, so let's go to the next picture.
Photo. Photo 21 of 28.
All right,
photo.
So
landscape.
This
September
is a close
29th, up. 2018, 1:03 p.m. Share button.
This is
cancel
a close
button.
Up from the same scene.
Recognize with Seeing AI. Cancel button. Person. 49-year-old woman with brown hair looking happy.
I can't tell you her age. I would say she's probably in her 40s, but I'm real bad at telling ages, so don't hold me accountable to that.
Scene, 49-year-old woman with brown hair looking happy. Scene, Victoria DeFrancesco Soto et al., sitting in a chair smiling.
Wow. Okay, this is amazing to me. So Victoria DeFrancesco Soto is our guest. That is her. I am really astonished that Seeing AI has picked up on her. She's a well-known academic. She is a speaker and you know, pretty well-known in the Texas news circles where I travel. But I'm pretty impressed that Seeing AI was able to identify her. So let's explore the photo and see what else Seeing AI gets.
Explore photo button. Explore photo. Processing. Five items detected. Move your finger over the screen to explore. 49-year-old woman with brown hair looking happy. Couch. Table. Bottle. Instagram. Table. Bottle. Table. Couch. Bottle.
Said something about Instagram. I'm trying to find that.
Table. Couch. Hand. Couch.
Oh, I see. So it's identifying not her hand, but it's identifying the hand of the person who's cut off in the picture. That's all you can see is
Instagram,
another person's
now,
hand.
Redboy99 commented, is there anything he can't do? Attachment.
Okay, I see. The Instagram was a little bit of a notification I was getting. My bad.
Close button. Cancel. Back button.
All right, let's try another.
Photo, landscape, September 20, photo, photo 22 of 28, photo, landscape, August 27th, 2018, 12:05 p.m.
This is going to be fun. I'm going to tell you a little bit about this photo before we open it up because it's kind of complicated. So what we have are two guys sitting on a stage. They're each in chairs. There's a table between them. And behind them is a big board with a lot of signage. This was a political event. It was actually on disability issues. It was a state political event here in Texas, and I was taking pictures of and covering this event. And so there's a lot of signage on the wall, so I'm sure you're going to get some random text read aloud. So I just wanted to put that in your mind before we have a look at what's in this photo.
Share button. Cancel button. Recognize with Seeing AI. Cancel button. Text up. Why vote count? Register. Educate. Vote. Register, educate, vote.
So that's all
count.
The text that is
Reverend
on the wall. The organization that put this together was called
Rev Up. Make TH, Reverend, is Terry plus EDUCATEI. Make the disability vote count.
All right,
vote.
So that's a whole lot of
up.
Random text. Now
Register.
Let's see what it says about the scene.
Probably Beto O'Rourke sitting on a bench reading a book.
Well, Beto is not reading a book. Beto O'Rourke is sitting in a chair. He's making a gesture as he speaks, and he's on the left, and there's a guy interviewing him on the right. So let's see what else we can learn about this photo by exploring it.
Person, 44-year-old man with brown hair looking neutral.
So it knew it was Beto, but now it says it's a 44-year-old man, and those are separate.
Scene, probably Beto O'Rourke sitting on a bed. Person, 44-year-old man with brown hair looking neutral.
So those are separate fields.
Explore photo button. Explore photo. Processing.
Still haven't quite figured out the difference between the two descriptions.
51 items detected. Move your finger over the screen to explore.
51 items are detected. Now, again, most of this is going to be text, so we're not going to go through a lot of this.
Make the disability vote count. 44-year-old man with brown hair looking neutral.
That's Beto.
Make the disability vote count. REV. Count. Make the disability vote. Person. Contains text. Register. Educate. Make the disability vote count. Person. Contains text. Register.
So
educate.
Just know he's a
vote.
Guy.
Rev up. AARE. The disability vote. Person. Up. Person.
So it gave me the fact that the second person was a person. It didn't identify his gender or anything. And when we got down to the details of exploring the photos, it no longer seemed to know that that was Beto O'Rourke in the photo. So that's interesting. So now let's hop into Seeing AI and see how it behaves when you want to browse a picture from inside the app as opposed to coming from your camera roll, which is what we've been doing up to now. So I'm going to go to the scene preview channel in Seeing AI.
Channel, short document, product, person, currency, scene preview. Channel, scene preview, adjustable.
And I can either take a picture now or I can go to the menu.
Menu, button.
Which is what I'm going to do.
Browse photos, but browse photo. Probably a bag of luggage sitting on top of a table. Photo, September 2018.
What it did was select the first photo in my camera roll, and there's a lot of stuff in that photo. And to be honest, Seeing AI didn't do a very good job on that one. So we're going to use a different photo.
Scene, probably a man riding a skateboard up the side of a road.
So it figured that out before I explored it, and I think that might be because that's a picture I just explored and Seeing AI quit unexpectedly on me. So I'm not sure how long or how much Seeing AI remembers about the analysis it does. But when you're in the app, you have the photo below it, you have the scene description, and then there are four buttons that you can use to explore. The interface behaves slightly differently when you're in Seeing AI versus when you're in the camera roll. So I'm going to show you the buttons at the bottom of the screen.
Share button. Reanalyze. Delete button. Explore photo button.
We want to explore photo.
Processing.
All right. Now, it doesn't give us any information. That's interesting.
Palm tree. Car. Palm tree. Tree. Person. Car. Person. Palm. Tree.
So I want to make sure I got everything. So this is a photo of my husband on a scooter, one of those little scooters you hear about in the big cities, going down a road in our neighborhood. And it is a very quiet road. Those aren't palm trees, by the way. They look sort of palmy, I guess. I think it's probably a pecan tree. And there's a car that's parked way back behind him. He's in the foreground. And then over to the right is another tree. He's on a road. So Seeing AI gave us a sense of where the image of the person was within the photo. You wouldn't know unless you had listened to the scene description before that he's on a road on a scooter. But it's, you know, close enough. Well, that's the demo of Seeing AI 3.0. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you will find lots of ways to use the Explore Photos feature to identify famous and semi-famous people, and even people you know. Bye for now.
Blind Bargains needs you. If you wish to submit a product demo, app review, tip, or something else cool, email feedback at blindbargains.com.
As I mentioned here, I'm at the Michigan AER conference where we are showing some new products from AT Guys, including the Way Around system, really popular here. That's the system where you can tag your everything, as they put it. So we have two-hole buttons, we have magnets, we have stickers, we have metal stickers, all sorts of things. You put these tags on something, and then you just touch your iPhone or Android device to what it is, and then it will tell you what it is. So instead of having to buy a separate labeling appliance, if you will, you just use your existing iPhone or Android phone and touch it to the tags, kind of like you would pay with Apple Pay or Google Pay, and it will tell you whatever information you've added to the tag. It can hold several thousand characters, actually quite a bit more than that, of data and information, so you can put in things like cooking instructions or washing instructions for clothes, or this shirt goes great with these pants, things like that. So that's Way Around. We have those now. The tags come in either a starter pack for $62.95, which has a little bit of everything, all seven kinds of tags, or starting at about $25, you can get 25 packs of tags, whether you want stickers, the two-hole buttons for shirts. Those have been really popular. People can sew them on. We actually have a laundry starter kit that you can get as well. Those are all over at atguys.com. We've also added a wireless charger from a company called Iotti. It is a very slick-looking and cool stand charger. You can set your iPhone or Android phone on it. 10 watts of charging power, and there's a dual coils, so it's very lenient on where you set the phone. If you can set it vertically or horizontally on the charger, and it will charge your device. Just a couple of the things that we are showing here in Livonia at Michigan AER. We know you can't get here because the podcast went on after the show. You can see us in Ann Arbor, Michigan, in the middle of May, May 15th. If you're going to be around for Visions, we will be there, as well as some other places coming up as well. Or go to atguys.com or call 269-216-4798. Now, my interview with the fine folks at Be My Eyes. Welcome back to Blind Bargains, and you know, I need to eat a bit of crow. We did all sorts of interviews from CSUN, including a lovely interview with Will Butler and Alexander Howerslav Jensen from Be My Eyes. And that interview, well, the three of us were the only ones that will ever hear that interview because it somehow did not record. That's me. I owe somebody a beer. And I guess both of you
a beer.
A big beer. So we have Will and Alexander back on the podcast to talk about things. But hey, more has even happened since CSUN, so we have even more to talk about. So maybe it's for the best. So welcome back to the podcast, guys.
Thank you so much.
My dad says you always do it better the second time anyway.
Well, okay. We'll go with that. Well, thanks. And Alexander, we won't say where you are, to say that you're in your house somewhere. Maybe people can tell by the echo.
Yeah, by the echo.
Sorry. You know, let's backtrack to CSUN first, because that happened earlier, and then we'll have even a new partnership to talk about. But CSUN, the big news was one that you guys announced with Google. So how has that been received, and tell us all about that.
Yeah, it's been received really, really well. Now Google is available on specialized help in the Be My Eyes app. So if you have issues with any Google product, you can just go into specialized help, select Google, and make a call directly to Google's disability support. And we're super, super excited about that. And it's been received really, really well. They already helped a lot of customers out with a lot of different things. Yeah, and we're extremely, extremely pleased to have both Microsoft and Google on the platform now.
That's really interesting because you look at just the coverage of those two companies, obviously Microsoft and Google both, that's hundreds, and that's not an exaggeration, of different products and services that they touch in some way that you could essentially ask for help with.
Yeah, I mean, Gmail, everything from Gmail to the Chromebook to even things like YouTube on the Google, they are covered by Google's disability support and Microsoft as well. And it's been really neat to see both companies really rally around the cause of getting people really good quality video customer support.
Is it designed for customer support only, or would it also work in situations where an app from one of these companies does not provide a lot of accessibility on the surface and you need someone just to read the screen and what's going on?
Yeah, it includes that as well. If there's any issues with some of the accessibility features, turning them on, turning them off, or just getting a better understanding of how they work, that's will help.
So Google at the moment is available, I believe, 9 to 5 Pacific time? Is that the hours of that?
Yes, exactly.
So Microsoft is 24. I'm assuming that's up to the company to decide.
Exactly. They can customize this based on their resources. So Microsoft actually also started out being 9 to 5 in Pacific. And then after 4 or 5 months, they decided to go 24/7, which of course was something that people around the world are super, super happy about, that they're able to get in contact with the customer support any time of day. Also, like especially for our international callers, people in Europe, Australia, or somewhere else in the world, and Pacific time is not always the most the most perfect one. So having 24/7 is definitely ideal, but we think it's like be able to capture a lot and help a lot of people with 9 to 5 Pacific time for now.
And now you can use the numbers. I'm not sure how much you share with the companies and others, but you've now established that there is a demand for such a specialized service that must make it a little easier to sell to others.
Absolutely. And the companies are hearing directly from their blind customers in a way that they never were before. And one of the things that's been really great is all of our partners have been encouraging each other their peer companies to get involved and to get on the platform. So it's really started a conversation, and you're also seeing culture shifts happen at companies when they start, talking directly to their blind customers through video. It's really neat to see that ripple effect go into those companies.
I can imagine just some of the features you probably could figure out a lot quicker if something is broken, if you start having a whole bunch of people calling up and asking the same questions. I'm sure they're logging these and kind of having some sort of tracking, and they can use it to improve their products.
Exactly. They're able to file bug reports immediately.
Yeah, so hopefully the same call wouldn't happen over and over again, because that is why we want the companies to be involved and the companies to help the blind and low vision customers, because they will get an understanding of when and how and why their products are failing from an accessibility standpoint. Once they have that knowledge, of course they can improve the products over time, and that's really what we want to do.
So obviously technology is an area where this service started. You've talked for a while about expanding this to other areas, and now that has happened. So tell us about your latest partnership.
Yeah, we just launched with the first bank to join specialized help. So we just launched with Bank of Scotland, Lloyds Bank, and Halifax, who are now going to provide a much more accessible customer support for their blind and low vision customers in the UK. And this is the first bank. This is a European bank, but we hope to bring on also financial institutions from the US and elsewhere onto the platform now. And we're really, really excited that now it's not only technical support, it's also support from banks. And we have a lot of other super interesting companies in the pipeline who are eager to get on to provide a more accessible customer support.
So what's the advantage to calling a bank? Technology makes sense right away as far as reading screens or trying to figure out how to use features. When it comes to a bank, what would be a use case for calling it through VMyEyes as opposed to just calling up their phone number?
We have to tell our users every day not to use VMyEyes for banking information because it's such a common need in our community. Reading a number on a debit or a credit card, reading things that you get in the mail and you have no idea what they are. Check, you know, anything from that all the way through online banking and familiarizing yourself with the UI of an online banking when they do an update, something like that. There's kind of the potential is endless for the banking. And I think also just like as a student of history here, it's like kind of important to note that like personal finance has always been it's been a frontier for accessibility because it's sort of that crucial thing that gives people independence. So it was really important to us to get banks involved on the platform to be able to provide people that sort of feeling of security with their financial information.
What are the hours for Lloyds?
That is also 9 to 5, but UK time.
Which obviously makes a lot more sense because
yeah. And just so you know, folks, like anyone, if you're not in the UK or you're not in the, you know, service area, you might not see one of these specialized help partners pop up on your screen, but we keep it set up so that you'll see the ones that are available in your area. And if you don't see something that you think would be a really important part of your life to have direct video support for, just send us a note right there on that specialized help screen in the Be My Eyes app, and we'll look into partnering with that company.
I think it was on one of your emails, Will, I saw in an effort and your ongoing effort to encourage people and get across the point that you can't overuse the service. You had this whole list of things that you could call Be My Eyes for. And it's really interesting just to see all the different use cases that people are coming up with for it.
Yeah. I started it a little while back and it's just grown and grown. And now I think I capped it at 100 because I didn't want it to be too watered down. But right now it's 100 ways to use Be My Eyes. And I think we'll look into maybe sharing that publicly somewhere. It was just kind of my personal list. But anything from, I think the categories were at home, in the kitchen, out and about, you know, navigating the world. And then there were some things like health and fitness. We see stories about people using it in the gym a lot of times.
Yes, lots of inaccessible
machines. Yeah. Mm-hmm. and then there's a style and beauty too, which is a huge thing that I think is kind of an untapped piece of kind of an untapped little community for Be My Eyes. Is people want to look good and want to feel confident when they step out the door. And so we see some really cool use cases in that regard as well.
What's one of the crazier, more unique uses that you've heard of or maybe that you didn't think of right away?
Alexander, do you have any? I've got a couple.
Yeah, we had a woman who had her wedding dress check the stains just before walking down the aisle and getting married.
Nice.
I think that's pretty special. We had a guy in Sweden who lost his electric lawnmower. So we had a volunteer finding his lawnmower in the garden because it ran away. I think the use cases are many. And I think what's really cool is that we actually get more and more use cases when we add these specialized cell companies as well, because it will allow for different use cases that were maybe not possible, where you don't feel completely confident or comfortable if it's a volunteer. But since you're talking directly to customer supporting some of the specific companies, we see more and more use cases popping up. And I think that just proves that VMIS is continuing to grow in terms of what you can use it for. And that's exactly why we made this new feature.
My favorite recent one that I heard recently was a guy, I think his wife asked him to go check to see something in the car. So he had to call a volunteer from the driver's seat of a car to ask the volunteer if there was gas in the tank. And the volunteer was a little concerned, but he reassured them that he wasn't going to take the car out for a joyride.
Not yet. We haven't gotten to the
no.
those particular cars yet. Yeah, I mean, just looking at you guys did a Reddit AMA a couple months ago, and the thing that I noticed the most was people, volunteers saying, hey, I've been on this thing for 6 months or a year and I still haven't got a call, or I've only gotten one call. So I mean, there's lots of people up there that are, they're itching just to get a call or get more calls.
Yeah, exactly. We actually during season as well, we hit 2 million volunteers, and now about a month later, so we have 2.1 million volunteers ready to help. So it's just again a friendly reminder that you remember that BMIS is completely free and it's completely unlimited. You can use it 24/7, and you can use it 100 times a day if you want to. You would never disturb the same volunteer. People only pick it up when they have time. So it's just a little reminder that there's so many people out there that wants to help. So big or small, just give them a ring.
Have you looked at expanding to other platforms? This especially comes up with all the computer help related tasks, being able to share your screen on Windows, for instance.
We always like looking at different ways to improve the platform and the product. It's not something that is going to happen right away, but we're looking into different ways of being able to assist in a better way. And screen share is sure one of them. It's not going to be something that's going to be out anytime soon, but yeah, we're definitely exploring.
Very cool. So, of course, Be My Eyes, free, iOS and Android. If you don't have it for whatever reason, get it. It's free. Why do you not? It's in your language. How many languages are you guys up to now?
150-something.
180, Will. 150 countries.
Oh, 150 countries.
Man, you're behind, Will.
150 countries. 180
languages.
That's amazing. I struggle. I don't think I can think of a blindness product that is in more languages. I mean, I don't even think NVDA comes to the 180. I might be wrong about that, but it's certainly that's a lot.
Imagine how much work it took to translate it.
I can imagine. Is that volunteers as well in a lot of those other languages? Or
yes, it is. We use a platform called Crowdin, where we have a few thousand people translating the app into the different languages. So if you speak more than one language, we send out a little email to you whenever we have something that needs to be translated. So we use like the crowd and a bunch of volunteers to do all of our translations, and that's why we can come out with new updates in so many different languages so quickly. It's because we have so many people who also not only volunteering on the platform but also volunteering translating the app.
Go ahead and give your website and contact information if people have suggestions or maybe they have a connection at a company that could sign up for specialized help.
Yeah, everything can be found at bemyeyes.com. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and LinkedIn. So look us up at Be My Eyes or Be My Eyes app on any of those platforms. And download the app today, whether you're a blind user or low vision user or just want to volunteer to get some calls now and again.
Thanks, guys. It's definitely always much appreciated. And, I won't have to make any comparisons. I don't have the first interview. So, I think we asked a couple different questions than we did then. But we'll never know. This is the one that's on and it has now been recorded for the
record. It'll be legendary. It'll go down in history.
Jason, it's always a pleasure to, if you call us in a week and say, I lost this one as well. We'll jump on the call.
I have two recordings going.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, maybe we'll have a new announcement by then.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jason.
Thank you.
Appreciated.
Much appreciated.
Tech and other stuff. You're listening to the BBQ.
I want to turn it over now to David Ward, who does a lot in his nonprofit work with both the Echo and Google Home devices. And, we do a lot of advanced tips, but sometimes it's just good to go back to the basics. And how do you actually find skills on the Amazon device? Well, David's going to do that coming up right now with a user-submitted tip.
Howdy, Blind Bargains listeners. This is David Ward with Dave's Tip this week, dealing with the Amazon Echo and how to learn about new things your Echo can do. Before I get too far into the weeds there with that tip in particular, Joe and JJ thought it might be a good idea if I kind of introduced myself a little bit. So my name is David Ward. I'm an assistive technology instructor with the New Vision program for Goodwill of the Valleys out of Southwest Virginia. And in particular, the last 2 years, our nonprofit had a grant where we bought Amazon Echoes and Google Homes. Those are both different virtual assistants and different from two different companies for seniors in the area. And a large group of those seniors, probably about 40 or 50 of them, were also visually impaired or legally blind. I myself am legally blind, and I use my Amazon Echo and my Google Home every day, all the time, wake up and everything. So in particular, today's tip that we're going to be featuring and very likely future tips about both products very likely, or maybe we'll cover other things, who knows, are really dealing with the Amazon Echo and how do you learn new things that you can do with your Amazon Echo. That seems to be kind of a challenge. Well, there's a lot of resources out there, and we're just going to cover some of them today. In particular, a resource that our nonprofit put together, and that is the Echo Tips podcast. So the Echo Tips podcast had its first season with roughly 30 episodes, and it deals with five-minute little chunks about basically things that you can learn to do. Set reminders, set alarms, wake up to music, digging into the settings and making customizations, or having books read to you, or audiobooks, or different things like that. So lots of different little resources that we covered, and we're about to get started into season two. But first off, how would you play that? Well, you can play it on your Echo. Ironically, you could even play it on your Google Home. And all you have to do is use the wake word, which is usually Alexa. Hopefully I said that in such a way that it's not going to trigger everybody. But from now on, I'm going to say "Hey, lady," just to play it safe. You could just say, "Hey, lady, play the Echo Tips podcast." And you're off to the races with the most current episode. And you can always say skip on your Echo to go back to a previous episode. Now, I'm not the only resource out there, our podcast. There's a lot of other things, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention those, and they're really good. Robin in the United Kingdom has the Dot to Dot podcast. That's really a great resource as well, and pretty fun and exciting. He features mostly skills most of the time, and that's like apps, like an app on a smartphone, but it's an app for your Amazon Echo. And so those are often third-party things, like there's a Bible app, trivia, games, really cool stuff. And he does that almost on a daily basis, I think, the Dot to Dot podcast. Also out of Canada, there's the Voice of Canada podcast that deals with a lot of things with your Amazon Echo. If you're subscribed to Amazon's newsletter and you set up an account, you should get a thing, an email every couple of weeks that says, "What's new with your Alexa?" And of course, we provide our newsletter off of our website that deals with Echo Tips in email format and tells you different things that you can do as well. So those are just some handy resources, and I just thought I'd mention those today, and we'll be mentioning future tips and things you can do with your Amazon Echo here in the near future, and who knows, other tips as well, such as the Google Home and the like. But if you'd like to learn more about what our nonprofit is doing, you can find out more about us at goodwillvalleys.com/newvision. You can find our podcast on most podcast aggregators, and as we mentioned, it's easy to play on your own Amazon Echo or Echo device. And so let's hand it back to the Blind Bargains team now.
Blind Bargains Best! Blind Bargains Best! Blind Bargains Best! Blind Bargains Best! Blind Bargains! Best Blind Bargains! Best Blind Bargains! Best Blind Bargains! Best Blind Bargains Best!
That's going to do it, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Episode 179. Who knows what's in store next week? We kind of change up the format every week just to keep you all on your toes. We do appreciate you listening. I have at least one yummy interview in the oven. No, it's not oven. It's a very tasty story coming up on a future show, as well as some more demos. We have some more products to play with and things to show you as well, of course. And Joe would tell you there's Google and Google events and Apple events and Microsoft events, and don't forget about all that. You can follow Joe on Twitter at Ranger Station, all one word, and you can follow the show at Blind Bargains. You can tweet us. You can also email us feedback@blindbargains.com or leave a comment on the website. We do appreciate you listening. Be sure to subscribe in your podcast player of choice, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you are. It does help us. We really do appreciate it, and like and share with your friends. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your April, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2019.